December 21st, 1937. How the kingdom of the divine will on earth has been decreed in the consistory of the adorable Trinity. The new breath of God by which the creature will be restored. Difference between lives and works. My poor mind was occupied by the great wonders and prodigies that the divine volition knows how to do when it reigns in the creature. And I was thinking to myself, what a happy lot to live in it. There cannot be greater fortune either in heaven or on earth. But how can it ever come to reign upon earth if evils and sins abound so much as to be horrifying? Only a divine power with one of its greatest prodigies could do it. Otherwise, the kingdom of the divine will be in heaven, but not on earth. But while I was thinking this, my dear Jesus, my sweet life, visiting my poor soul with unspeakable goodness, told me, my good daughter, it has been decreed in the consistory of the sacrosanct Trinity that my divine will have its kingdom on earth. And as many prodigies as this will take, we will make them. We will hold nothing back in order to have what we want. But in operating, we always use the simplest ways, though powerful, such as to overwhelm heaven and earth and all the creatures in the act that we want. You must know that in creation, it took nothing other than our omnipotent breath to infuse life in man. But how many prodigies in that breath? We created the soul, providing it with the three powers, true image of our adorable Trinity. And with the soul he received the heartbeat, the breathing, the circulation of the blood, the motion, the warmth, the speech, the sight. What did it take to make all these prodigies in men? The simplest act of ours, our breath, armed with our power and with the rays of our love, which, unable to contain it any longer, ran and ran toward him, even to the point of making of him the greatest prodigy of the entire work of creation. Now, my daughter, since man did not live in our divine will, his three powers have become obscured, and our adorable image deformed in him, in such a way that he has lost the first heartbeat of God's love within his heartbeat, and the divine breath within his human breath. Or rather, he has not lost it, but he does not feel it, and therefore he does not feel the circulation of the divine life, the motion of good, the warmth of the supreme love, the word of God within his own, the sight to be able to look at his creator. All has remained obscured, weakened, and maybe even deformed. Now, what does it take to restore this man? We will return again to breathe upon him with stronger and increasing love. We will breathe in the depth of his soul. We will blow our breath more strongly into the center of his rebellious will, but so strongly as to shake the evils by which he is trapped. His passions will be knocked down and terrified before the power of our breath. They will feel themselves burning by our divine fire. And the human will feel the palpitating life of its creator, and it will conceal him like a veil, so that man will return to be the bear of his creator. Oh, how happy he will feel! With our breath, we will restore him and heal him. We will act like a most tender mother who has a crippled child. And by dint of breathing, whispering, and blowing, She pours herself over her child. And only when she has healed him and rendered him beautiful as she wanted him to be, then will she stop blowing her breath upon him. The power of our breath will not leave him. And only when we see him coming back into our paternal arms, beautiful, as we want him to be, then will we stop breathing on him. Then will we feel that our child has recognized our paternal goodness and how much we love him. See then what it takes to make our will come to reign upon earth. The power of our omnipotent breath. With it, we will renew our life in him. All the truths I have manifested to you, the great prodigies of the living in my will be the most beautiful and greatest properties which I will give to him as gift. This, too, is a sure sign that its kingdom will come upon earth, because if I speak, first I do deeds, and then I speak. My word is the confirmation of the gift, of the prodigies I want to do. Hence, why would I expose my divine properties and make them known if its kingdom were not bound to come upon the earth? Now I will continue on the same topic of the date December 18. How our acts done in the divine will turn into life. So, I was thinking to myself, but in the divine order, what will become of the many good works which have not come out from within the divine volition, and which therefore cannot be life, but works, because the seed of its life is missing in them? And my sweet Jesus, always benign, added, "My daughter, by possessing by nature its creative life, it is no wonder that each act of the creature done in my will, even a little I love you, is as though matured in the center of its divine life, and as though naturally it acquires its life. All that is done in my will is regenerated in our eternal love, and acquires the long offspring of many divine lives, which are exclusively ours. Now, the good works not done in our will can be like many beautiful ornaments in our creative work. Some are beautiful, some less, but never life. In the order of creation also, there are lives and there are ornaments. Flowers are not lives, yet they form a beautiful ornament to the earth, though not a permanent one. Fruits are not life, but they serve to nourish man and to let him taste the many varied sweetnesses, though they're not durable and man cannot always enjoy them any time he wants. If fruits and flowers were lives, man would be able to enjoy them any time he wanted to. The sun, the sky, the stars, the wind, the sea are not lives, but since they are our works, how much good do they not do? First of all, they serve as the most beautiful primary residence for man. What are their homes compared to the great dwelling that we made of the whole universe? There is a blue vault dotted with gold that never fades. There is a sun that is never extinguished. There is air which, letting itself be breathed, gives life. There is a wind that purifies and refreshes, and then many more things. It was necessary for our love to make an assortment of lives and of works, because they had to serve to make man happy, and they had to serve for the decorum, the decency, and the dwelling of the one whom we created with so much love. So, since we had made more than enough works, to him was given the task to enjoy our works and to live in our divine will in order to form many lives of love and of glory for he who loved him so much. But the difference between works and life is great. Life does not perish, while works are subject to many changes. And if they are not upright and holy, instead of forming the ornament, they will form our dishonor and their confusion, and maybe even their condemnation.